All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome back, everybody, to the In the Dough podcast. Well, COVID has struck again, my friend. It has struck again.
Well, yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah. Like, you try and follow the protocols, but, you know, it's a really powerful virus. I mean, yeah.
It starts when, it starts December, starts December 27th.
Starts when, you know, you shower in the morning and you take all the necessary hygienic proper protocols, and, you know, you wear your mask, and, you know, starts tonight.
Yeah, so Sean Monahan's getting pretty spot on.
Yeah. So I guess I got tested, and it's positive. Yeah.
They're just probably chilling on an extended Christmas vacation, pretty much.
They planned it. Daryl's like, okay, we need a fucking break in our season.
Daryl probably planned this whole thing.
He's like,
four in a row loss, sucking ass.
What would he have brought in on? Like, just a piece of gum that he found on the side of the street or something?
I don't know if anybody watched Rick and Morty, but like, Daryl is definitely like Rick, and he had planned this whole fucking thing and probably got everybody sick.
Just looking out for the team,
as he's known to do.
I don't know about you, but when they announced that the team had COVID, I wasn't even like upset that I couldn't watch hockey because they were just fucking sucking so bad.
Yeah, we both turned off the Boston game. So,
but here's a question for you, because I was thinking about how bad would this have sucked if it was right in the middle of one of their heaters.
Well, honestly, this has been a concern of both of ours. Is like, we didn't say it publicly, but we were like, fuck, watch us be like really awesome. And then like the season gets shut down or some shit.
Yeah. It's when like we were on.
Yeah.
When we were flying high, I think we're texting each other like, okay, when's COVID going to ruin
like,
this?
Always in the back of my mind is like, okay, it was going to be Stanley Cup final or some shit. Like Flames are there. Win away. It's like, we're canceling everything. It's just take it over the league. It's canceled. That's my fear now. So at least it's happening while we suck.
Honestly, it's a nice break from watching them
suck. I needed a break.
However, you're sitting there, you're like, okay, well, can they practice? Because that's what they need to be doing. How great would it be if they could actually practice? But they can't. So,
well, the guys who aren't on the protocol should be. I'm talking to you, Backlund should be have a rink in his backyard. He should be in his basement shooting targets the whole Christmas break.
You know what he needs? Although I don't know if he could hit the front side of a barn, but he needs to get like a giant net and just work on hitting the net.
Part of it.
And then make it smaller and smaller and smaller.
Yeah. Don't even do target practice. Like, start with net.
Right. Like, the size of his targets in the giant net. Let's put him in a soccer net. Okay? Put him in a soccer net with, like, targets the size of, what, coffee tables? Like, giant fucking coffee table size targets. Start with those. Once he can hit that 80% of the time, then make it smaller a little bit and just kind of whittle them down. How's that sound? Why is he doing that?
I feel like there's maybe who's the greatest Swedish goal scorer of all time? I don't even know. Forest is there any Book. Like, is Mats Sundin probably, I would imagine, maybe.
Better than Forsberg?
Actual goals, I feel like it's got to be Sundin because Forsberg was injured his whole life.
Yeah.
But there's got to be some sort of fucking thing with like Europeans and their soccer nets and shit, and they can't hit the net because you look like the top goal scorers of all time. It's all like Canadians and Russians and shit. It's like, we don't really play soccer. We have to like shoot at like anything we can make a net out of. So there's got to be some sort of correlation.
Speaking of Russians scoring a lot of goals, I was watching the Capitals game last night for a bit. Have you seen how Ovechkin just like plays? When he's in the offensive zone, he just stands there without a stick on the ice.
Yeah, I know.
And he just like waits. It's kind of weird. It's like
the best.
It's like, hey, he's like Sean Monahan, but actually he can score. And Sean Monahan actually has a stick on the ice.
No, I'd fucking prefer it if Sean Monahan stood there instead of skating. Like, Sean Monahan has turned into Mark Jankowski.
Speaking of Mark Jankowski, he got an assist tonight. I just saw that his highlight. I got nothing to do apparently because the Flames aren't playing. So I'm watching all these loser teams.
Who is he? Is he with Buffalo or whatever?
Yeah.
Well, it pains me to say, but Sean Monahan looks more and more like Jankowski. Remember when you used to do that thing where you do that like butt hit, like not really hit a guy?
Oh man, I forgot about that. Yeah.
He'd go in after, yeah, the fake hit. Go in after guy and like kind of like turn his ass and like look like he hit the guy. And then upon further inspection, it's just like he just kind of bumped into the boards. It's like Sean Monahan right now.
He'd like jump at the last second so the glass would rattle back and forth.
Yeah.
So it looked like it was, ooh, wow, he almost connected. He would have really murdered him there.
Anyways, I don't know how he got off on this tangent, but oh, because Sean Monahan's just standing around like Alex Ovechkin, but he can't score. I'd prefer it if he stood around because he's just skating around following the puck these days.
Well, and that Backlund could hit the open net. That's how it all started. So
yeah, those two things really pissed me off.
So it doesn't sound like they can practice.
No, they can't.
Well, technically, you'd think the five guys that don't have it could.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. They should be able to because they fucking need it. So Backlund needs to set up a goddamn. Why doesn't he have it? He's got that beautiful, huge house in Calgary. He's always showing off on Instagram. Why does he spend a few extra dollars and get a target practice downstairs?
Does he have a heated driveway, though?
Put it in the basement, Mike. That's what the rest of us did. My parents' basement has drywall holes all over it, and I didn't even make the NHL. What are you doing, Michael?
You didn't get that, eh? I guess Twitter disposes information a lot differently than Instagram does, but you never heard about Connor McDavid's heated driveway?
Oh, Jesus.
Did you hear about that?
Is this from his house tour, or is this from when he was a kid?
Some fucking, I don't know, I guess Edmonton had a lot of snow the other day. So Connor's at the podium. I think this is on a pregame or an off day. I don't know, but one of the reporters is like, are you a shoveling guy? Are you really shoveling? And he goes, no, actually, I have a heated driveway. So.
Holy Christ.
I'm lucky enough. I don't have a shovel.
Could you be less of a – could there be anybody worse to be the face of a sport than that guy?
I don't think so.
Like, honestly.
He's good at hockey. He's just got the ugliest face I've ever seen.
Like, honestly, he's, like, worse than Sid because everybody loves Sid.
Like, yeah, Sid's pretty lovable. I
mean, is there anybody who likes Connor McDavid if you're not an Oilers fan? Like, you like his play.
Well, here's another reason not to have the Olympics. The Olympics. Because we don't want to have any reason to like this fucking idiot. Zero. What will happen is a lot of Canadians will find a little bit of a soft spot for Connor heated driveway.
Like, he's got to be exactly who says I got a heated driveway, and he didn't say it funny. Probably
I got a heated driveway.
Actually, my driveway.
He did. He was kind of like veteran move.
Oh yuck! He's not likable. I don't like. It's fucking so bad. It's so bad for the sport.
He has a terrible sense of humor. Yeah,
he's like some weird kid you knew in high school. Who, like, is now the best athlete on earth.
Anyways, the Flames are not playing, so we need to talk about something on this podcast. Let's wrap up the Boston game because we haven't covered that yet. I want to go to Daryl's post-game comments first. I don't know, man. Like, this, it's – I don't know how to really – you know, keep perspective on all of it in terms of understanding it, because the team has played some pretty damn good hockey for, you know, 98% of the season. And then the last four games, you're sitting there, you're like, fuck, man, like there's a lot of things to, you know, a lot of negative things you can start picking up. But Daryl, after the post game, again, right? Because the media is asking him what's going on, what's with the slump, you know, is this the adversity you're just talking about? And he just says, look, I've said it 100 times. And he's like, you guys have got way ahead of yourselves. I told you this. It's a process with this team. And they still have a lot to learn about the whole deal when you're playing against teams. He mentions the last four out of the five games, because we have faced some tough opponents during this losing stretch. He says you're playing teams that can really check, and when they get the lead, they continue to check. He says that's how we have to play. So I'm not worried, you know, about the little slump, because Daryl is going to use it as a learning process. And like he said, I mean, it's a good reminder for us, right? Just like, whoa, let's not all think we're going to finish first in the West to end the season. We're on a really good stretch. We're playing some good hockey. Let's not all finish. We're going to finish first in the Pacific to end the season. It's just like, where is our expectations, right? Yes, they're playing great hockey. There's a lot of great things, but the reality is the reality, and we're seeing it. Over an 82-game season, the truth will be revealed. There is still a lot of room for improvement, and a lot of room for a lot of things for a lot of players on this team.
I mean, pretty much we're going to do some grading today. I'd say outside of 5 to 6 or 7 players, there's a lot of room for a lot of improvement.
Yeah. And you've been, you know, the other players that have been excellent.
And I mean, even those players who have been excellent. Oh, you're just going to say the same thing I was going to say. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that I don't know if I was going to say the same thing.
What I was going to say
is that the Fire players that have been excellent, they're the ones carrying this team. They're probably, 90% of the reason why you're winning these games. I mean, yes, the team is playing well as a whole defensively, which gives you a chance to win every game as long as you're scoring goals. That's the other thing Darryl's saying, is that we've had a really average goaltending lately. And when you're a team that doesn't have secondary scoring, he says it like that. Like, hint, hint.
Hints.
Hints. Dropping like hints down
dropping,
here.
Dropping hints at this for like three months, like since I was hired.
When you're a team that doesn't have secondary scoring and you have average goaltending, then you're going to be up against it. That's what they're facing right now. But those five players have been excellent. I mean, thank God they've been excellent. Because if they haven't been scoring at the pace they have been, we might even have a – like what we're at. We're at probably around what's our winning percentage? 6.6 something?
Yeah, it's likely. In the six. What are we, like 15, 6, and 7?
Without those – players scoring all those goals for you, because it's like it's probably some weird stat where it's kind of like you look at the Oilers, it's McDavid and Estrada, they score 90% of the goals for the team. Our five players, that the only guys that score, it's probably the same thing. But if even one of them, if two of them for sure aren't scoring at the ability that they have been, you're probably closer to around winning percentage of in the 0.500s somewhere. But anyways, was that the same thing you were thinking?
Well, I was just going to say, even those five players, there is still more they can give, and there is still room for improvement. I think there's really one guy, still to me, the one guy who is at the level he's always been at and probably playing the best he's ever played is Gaudreau. And then the other guys, while they've been great, there are some things they could be doing better.
Yeah.
A level they could get to that they aren't at yet.
We talked about in the last podcast.
Markstrom, I should say.
Yeah. Last podcast in terms of finding that next gear. Darryl also said something interesting post-game Boston in terms of a lot of Boston's goals tonight were really well-timed, right? And sometimes you get lucky in that sense, but sometimes you're creating your own timing. And potentially that's part of what this next gear can be, right? Is managing the game within the game, right? Managing the momentum. Because one thing he's saying is just like, when you have a lead, you got to be able to keep checking. And, you know, the last three games before Boston, when we were on the last podcast, we were a little disappointed because each one of those games, the game was in your grasp. It was within your reach. And you didn't have the ability to, you know, push yourself through a threshold, get over the hump, either tie it up or go ahead, win any one of those three games. And maybe possibly that's due to managing momentum and scoring when it's timely.
Well, yeah. And I think, I don't know, that's something we haven't seen yet this year. We've seen them win dominant 60-minute efforts. We've seen them win really close games, but we haven't seen them really battle back or overcome like a big amount of adversity in games yet. Like we haven't seen them do that. Like, have we seen them do that once this year?
I think. Chicago was the one time I remember seeing it being like, holy fuck, these guys have decided they're going to win, and they did. I mean, as a weaker opponent. But yeah, you're right, because for the most majority of the games, you've had the lead, which I'm not complaining about. But
I mean, that's good. I'm not saying just coming back, but it's like there hasn't been many games where there's been some shift it's been a long while since we've been on here. I can't even use my vocabulary here. There hasn't been a shift in the game that has been, the impetus has been put on by the Flames. It hasn't been like, okay, the Flames are taking over this game right now, other than like that Chicago game, and maybe even that Chicago period.
Yeah, third period. Well, and I mean, that's, I think, the discussion point in terms of, okay, you've won a lot of games so far. You've shown you know how to play hockey. So that's probably what the next level looks like, is like you know, being in control more often, I guess.
And that, I think that's one way to curb, not one way, that's the way, and probably the factor in, like, why are all these fucking games going to overtime and then we lose in overtime? It's like, finish the game off.
Yep.
Don't let it get to overtime. Get to that next level in regulation and win the game.
Give us the game stats. This is going to be interesting. I haven't seen them yet, but I'm always curious to see. I'm always curious after a loss, especially a really frustrating loss, what the game stats look like, because a lot of the times I find, holy shit, I guess they didn't actually play as bad as it felt.
Well, it definitely wasn't against Boston, because I'm remembering now, because it was like, feels like 10 weeks ago. It was only five days ago.
That's crazy, eh? 5 days?
It feels like it's been 2 weeks.
No shit. It feels like it's been at least 10 days, 10 or 12 days.
Is on the 11th. That's so Markstrom fucking sucked, now that I'm remembering.
Oh, yeah. He's terrible.
What was he doing?
He let that first goal in from...
Holy shit. Like, they showed the replay on it. It was like, that was like, I could have scored that goal, apparently. Like, holy shit, that was bad. Because, I mean, the Flames were really good in the first period. I thought they were okay in the third period, but second period, meh. But, I mean, still, they dominated pretty much across the board. Possession-wise, the Flames had 62% of the shot attempts to the Bruins, 39 or 38%. They had 28 scoring chances compared to the Bruins 17. They had 11 high dangers to the Bruins 10. You win the expected goal share at 52%. They were, by all metrics, they were the better team that night, but Markstrom kind of sucked and didn't have any timely goals. So
except for average goaltending and lack of secondary scoring.
Yeah. And that's how you beat this team. Like, I mean, again, they weren't great. The Bruins definitely took advantage of their fuck ups, but I mean, it wasn't the worst game they've ever played, and a pretty good game to play against a team like Boston. So, I mean, if Markstrom doesn't let that first one in, that first one was a killer. And I mean, there was that other one he let in that was brutal. Like, there's two goals that were just like unacceptable.
Which other one? I'm thinking of, where's that one?
There's a Clifton one that's like the first goal, like that's like on the boards.
There's the one that Pasternak, he's about to change and he just like shoots at the net and Marchand.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how you're saving that. I guess,
yeah.
That's kind of a cheesy goal.
I guess.
It's kind of a fluky goal, like a little, like, sure, it's good.
I don't know why Marchand is allowed to be in that spot with like nobody fucking paying attention, but.
Yeah. So you get down 3-0. At that point, you're like, fuck, this team, Boston's hit the magic number. They've scored 3 against us. Yeah. I don't know if this team, we haven't seen them come back from that big of a deficit. So, you know, at that point, it's not looking good. Chucky makes a 3-1. You're like, okay. And then they go up, didn't they go up 4-1? And then Monahan gets a lucky one off his shins.
No, it was a great shot.
Yeah, I mean, you know, skating to the net and, you know, I mean, yeah.
It's a great shot, yeah.
I mean, yeah, your credit goes to the shot. I mean, you know, it's never a bad play to shoot the puck. I mean, yeah. Sean Monahan. So, terrible game to be at.
Fuck, dude. I'm trying to figure out if the Flames.
It's still not as bad as half the home games under Ward.
Oh yeah,
even Peters in his second season wasn't when Tkachuk and Doughty went toe to toe and Doughty the suck my dick. Was that Peters?
That was early 2019-2020. I believe that would have been Jeff Ward.
No, that was the first game of the season.
So that was COVID Peters. Year. Fuck yeah, you're right. It would have been that early. Yeah, it probably would have been. It was like in November.
Yeah.
It was
yeah, that was 1920.
Yeah, so that would have been early in the season. I don't think the Peter shit had happened yet. So yeah, no. That would have been an old
because there Peter. Was that's what they did under Bill Peters the first third of the season was they would come out, especially at home. They love to do this at home.
Fucking lay a stinky egg in the first.
Outshot 20-3 in the first period. They did that against the Kings that night. Chucky did tie it up, but oh man, shitty game to be at for the Bruins game, but not near as shitty as because I mean if you're at a home game and you literally have zero goals, well the other team's up 3-0, it's like fuck man, like unless there's an epic comeback, that game's gonna suck.
The worst home game I've ever been to was with my friend. He bought me tickets. I think it was for Christmas. I don't know. We both didn't have very much money at the time, and we got really good seats, and it was just a nice, it'd be a nice, fun evening. It was in the middle of fucking December, and it was freezing. It was one of the cold months. You know when you're going to the Dome, and it's freezing, and you park far away so you can get free parking, and you have to walk, and you question your whole entire existence? It was one of those nights, but it was in the Glenn Gullitson era, and it was like peak Gullison era when they were like, fuck me, I'm going to kill myself. And they were playing the Ducks and they lost. It was a 1-0 loss. Kessler got like, I think he got an empty netter with like 3 seconds left. For all intents and purposes, a 1-0 loss. They had 13 shots on net in a 1-0 loss.
Oh,
holy fuck. Imagine sitting through that.
Can you believe that? Just picture his face, Glenn Gullison. Can you believe he coached this team for 2 seasons?
Yes. I remember the GM of this team.
Oh, yeah. Just picture his face. But yeah, when you picture his face, the Glenn Gullison face makes total sense, eh? Or the Jeff Ward face.
Just have a beer on the train, guys.
Yeah. I think guys, I'll give myself credit on that one. Yeah.
Seasons turn around. Brower comes out like, or was it Versteeg? We were even asking for Steeg, and he's like, "What do you? No, that was like the most meaningless shit of the whole year. Nobody even remembered that." And Glenn gave himself a pat on the back.
Can't we quote him? Can't we quote Versteeg? Didn't Versteeg say, "Yeah, Glenn likes to give himself credit."
It was something like that. Yeah,
for turning the season around, but that's not what it was.
That's correct. Fucking Gullison. That's the worst Flames home game I've ever been to.
However, the stick toss to the second bowl was pretty fucking sweet.
That was great. I still frequently use that GIF a lot. So, I mean, his tenure wasn't all in vain. He gave us a good GIF, so.
Ooh, where do I find that GIF? Is it on Twitter? I need that GIF.
All I Google is stick toss Flames.
Okay. I'm going to check. And I guess like you can call it either one, right? GIF or JIF. I call it a GIF.
I called it either one in the same sentence. So
but yeah,
I said JIF and then I said GIF.
Did you correct yourself or?
I think it's JIF or GIF. I don't fucking know. I have no clue.
Okay, I'm typing this in right now. Stick toss. This is in Twitter.
It should be on Twitter.
No, it's not on here, man.
What?
No one. I don't think I've ever seen it as a GIF on Twitter. That's why I was kind of like,
maybe if you type Glenn Gullison, but spelling Gullison is really fucking difficult.
Gullison, you mean?
Because I think there's an A way earlier than there is.
There's a lot of U's. I know that.
Yeah, it's Gulu. Yeah, how are those?
It is. It is there.
Yeah, I fucking knew it.
Except it doesn't pan up to where the stick goes. It just shows him. So
yeah, that's all you need.
Yeah, good enough. Eh? Every Flames fan will know what that means.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get to Sean Monahan.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, starts tonight. Yeah, I mean. So you did some nice work on Instagram.
Well, I've been pretty slacking because it's Christmas and all. And
yeah, I mean, you've been busy shopping for gifts, eh?
Been out buying discount Sean Monahan jerseys for everybody for Christmas.
Oh, they're fucking probably giving away.
Fucking
probably
free right now.
Right? They'll give
you. They'll pay you.
Exactly. They'll give you a 20% discount on anything in the store when you buy, not when you buy.
Okay, you know what? I got to give the Flames some fucking shit right now. I don't know who the marketing person is or who I should bring this to, but like, where's the Christmas spirit from the Calgary Flames? Why is there no like free jerseys or like half off jerseys or come down and get your shit or something? What's going on?
I do not know.
Give some Christmas stuff. Like, it's been like a pretty shitty last 2 years for a lot of people who don't have a lot of disposable income. Give away some jerseys or something.
We're giving away jerseys.
We're giving away. No, they don't give away jerseys. We're giving away t-shirts from the 2015 playoffs. Get your extra small Colborne t-shirt here. That's my favorite, is when they're doing the Fanatic things. We got a smoking deal. You can get a Joel Colborne t-shirt from 2015 for $19.99.
It's like the only way to move that fucking product.
$20 for a fucking five-year-old t-shirt.
Maybe that's the underlying product problem here. Hey, it's just like the shit they give away during those things. No one cares about that. Right?
It's so stupid. Fanatic needs, like, the Flames merchandising, whatever you want to call it. I guess it's probably league-wide, but guys, jeez Louise.
They should be doing the players show up at your random. They probably are.
Maybe they are. Or not. Well, no, they can't.
Oh, yeah, they all have COVID.
Brad Tree Living should be out there fucking doing, like, some Christmas charity, like, Scrooge when he's nice.
They should get the five players that aren't in protocol doing it, eh? You only need five. Five's plenty. They got good names here. Coleman and Chucky.
Yeah. Backlund. Nobody will want Backlund. You show up at my house.
People will show up. You still play for the Flames?
See, they should. See, you know what they should do is like, okay, it's nice that they do nice things for kids, but it'd be way more funny if they like showed up at old people's houses like mine, like showed up at my little house and like Northern Alberta and like knocked on my door and I'd be like, tell Backlund how much he fucking sucks. It'd be funny. I would love Michael Backlund to show up here and be like, what the fuck is with your shot this last 5 years, bud? Some free content idea. Flames should hire me.
So you did do some good work on Instagram. You did a little expose on Sean Monahan in terms of, is he getting any better? Is he trending in any direction one way or the other? What did you uncover with this little
research? What was my conclusion? My conclusion was no. Sadly, no.
Remember when we talked about this in the last podcast. You used to be able to not only can't put him out there at all. He used to be the guy that scored all the fucking
Mr. Overtime.
Holy shit, you're right. I have totally forgot about that name. Sean Monahan's name at one point was Mr. Overtime. Wasn't that Labardius coined him that?
I believe that was Rick Ball. I can't see Labardius pulling out one. He'd use something a bit more weird. He'd be like, oh, he's Mr. Lube.
Lose. What? Most clutch? Lose clutch goal of the night performer? Some kind of
brought
winner.
Brought to you by Tom's Pizza, Red Baron Steakhouse, and Homes by Abby.
Homes by Abby. Oh, fuck it. I don't even know what Homes by Abby
me
is.
Me either. That's always confused me. I always heard that as a kid, and I was like, what the fuck is that?
I just know it as a Flames term. And what about the one where they used to move two fans down from like the press aisle down to like row one?
Oh, yeah.
Who sponsored that one? That's the move of the game. That was the move of the game.
That was like a mobile one or something. Mr. Lube? This guy, I have Mr. Lube in my head or something.
Brad, you're living.
Brad, you're living put an end to that fast. They should be doing the move of the game nowadays with all the empty seats.
Was it coast to coast or something?
That was Hockey Night in Canada. Wasn't it coast to coast on like intermission?
I don't know. All right, so Monahan threw 28 games. He's got 4 goals. And one of them is off a shin pad. I don't think he has a 5-on-5.
Like, I'm trying to remember the shot. Like, is other than that one in Anaheim, when did he shoot the puck into the net? And it was like, nice shot, Sean.
I don't know. I don't recall. He's got 11 points, primary points.
Yeesh.
0.9 offensive
goals. So he's got his goals. Yeah, he's got his goals above replacement, which, like, for reference, not really very good on the team. So that just takes his offensive contributions on the power play and at even strength. Currently, that places him below Trevor Lewis.
No.
Below Dylan Dubé. And remember, this is a cumulative number. So he's below Brett Ritchie, who has played 9 games this year. In 9 games, Brett Ritchie has had a better offensive impact by goals above replacement than Monahan has.
Wait, Brett Ritchie has played 9 games this season?
Yeah.
What? I do not remember that, dude.
Remember he was, like, kind of good? And then he got,
then he got destroyed. Oh yeah, who was that?
I don't remember.
Fuck, that was a fight. Yeah.
Yeah, he got just killed. It wasn't on the Jets. It wasn't on the Oilers.
Did you see Jujar got real fucked up?
Holy shit, that guy's gonna need to retire.
Yep.
Like, dude,
I don't see how you're coming back. That's like 2 massive concussions. And. 2.5 seasons?
Like, not even? Like, a calendar year? When did Richie knock him out? That's less than a calendar year. That was, like, March of last year.
Was that last season Richie did that?
Yeah.
That was the highlight of our season.
That was the highlight of the last fucking 2 years at this point. But anyways, yeah, it's Sean Monahan. And, I mean, okay, like, sure. People are like, oh, his defensive game is improving. Yeah, but, I mean, like, he's playing a Daryl Sutter system. I would be real...
Whose numbers are not improved in a Daryl Sutter system?
That's what I'm saying. Is that possible? Like, I would be pretty blown away if your defensive numbers weren't a little bit better playing under this one of the strictest defensive systems in the whole league. So
the best defensive team in the league.
Your defensive numbers better be good. So, like, his 5-on-5 impact numbers have been okay. Like, he's hovering a 54% shot Corsi 4 percentage, 51% expected goals 4 percentage. But all of those are driven by the defensive results. Like, if you look at his offensive number, he fucking sucks. So his offense has been what offense? He's been a non-factor at 5-on-5. Sure, he's been a factor on the power play, but as you've seen, the guy can't shoot.
Hey, come on. No, he hasn't.
Yeah, I know. Like,
he's a non-factor.
He's a zero factor.
Zero.
So then if you look at a few other metrics, like Jay Fresh has his war, his wins above replacement model up there. And to me, you can see the most notable thing that has dropped is not even just the offensive impact. It's the finishing ability has using Jay Fresh's model, his finishing ability and using anybody's model. He's got 4 goals this year. His finishing ability has fallen off the face of the earth. He can't score anymore.
Just for visual aid, his finishing ability looks like this.
Like in Bugs Bunny, when Wiley falls off a cliff, that's Sean Monahan's finishing ability.
That's what when you're looking at a chart and there's a line, a horizontal line that all of a sudden turns into a vertical line going down.
So yeah,
he's really struggling, dude.
When your game is one-dimensional and that dimension is finishing and that finishing plummets, it's a bit of an issue. So he's not getting better. Like, sure, I think I put it very well in the last episode where it's like he's an NPC at this point. Like, I couldn't differentiate Sean Monahan from a replacement player in this league. Like, he's a replacement player at this point. If you took his jersey off and, like, threw another guy out there that I didn't know who it was, and they were just like a middling replacement player and told me that was Sean Monahan at this point, I wouldn't know the difference.
So sad, dude.
It's very sad.
Is that the saddest thing going, Calgary Flames related? It's got to be.
What else would be, you know? It's brutal. Like, and does he bounce? Like, the thing that I'm apparently everybody who sucks bounces back inevitably now. That's the new thing in hockey. It's like this guy you thought was fucking terrible is good all of a sudden. But man, I don't think like you'd probably take Sean Monahan. Okay. Let's say he's making $2 million. Yes. But he's making a lot of money.
Motherfucker's making
6.35. Yeah, four. And like he's a hole right now.
Somebody was throwing his buyout numbers.
Yeah, and they actually look pretty favorable.
But you know, like here's the debate. I mean, you could have a debate, but you already know that Tree Living would never buy out Sean Monahan. Ever. The collector?
Dude, this guy will no chance. Well, you know what? He'd probably buy him out before he traded them.
Too bad you couldn't turn the clocks back and expose. Or could you? Does he have no movement?
No, I think it's just a limited no trade.
Too bad you didn't expose Sean Monahan.
Well, then make him really sad, and then he doesn't want to be on the team, and he's a leader. And
so you have this, there's two comparable columns, 2020.
Yeah, so Jay Fresh has a little thing just to kind of normalize the games last year and kind of because if the right now between last season, the shortened season, and now the most teams have played a full season. So for Monahan, that's 78 games played. So you can compare his results last year to his combined results from last year and this year and see if like last year was a big aberration. And it's not like there's only really negative changes. So what's becoming more apparent is that Monahan's offensive ability is in the shitter. His defensive ability is kind of stabilizing, but it's still not very good. So his play last year so far can be parsed out as pretty true to the player he is now, would be my assessment. So the question now is, okay, if he was injured and that bad last year and he's healthy and still is bad now, what the fuck?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you just got to get to the gym and work on your foot speed.
Like, if he's just as bad now as he was when he couldn't bend over, like, what's going on?
Maybe he's making it all up, eh?
Like, so his...
Do you think Johnny and him are making it up?
Yeah, Sean couldn't walk to the face. Ah, fuck.
Okay, did you go court? Like, here's category by category. WAR is down. Wins above replacement is down from 29% to 24%.
So this is in percentile form. So the percentile's league-wide.
That's a negative 6% change.
So his overall impact has lessened in the combined games this season.
So he's not getting better. He's getting worse.
Correct.
His EV is at even strength.
His even strength offense has also gotten worse.
Plummeted from an already plummeted 18% to now 8%.
Like Sean Monahan over the last season of hockey is in the 8th percentile of even strength offense.
Ooh.
That's fucking brutal.
For a guy that only upset his offense. That's pathetic. A 9% minus 9% change. Hey, look at this. His defensive impact, even under a Daryl Sutter system. So this kind of debunks what we just said. It goes from 43 up to 44%. Under Daryl Sutter system, wouldn't you expect it to be a little bit of a bigger jump?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like everyone's like, not everyone. I think most people are on the same page, but It's like, oh, his defense has gotten better. It's like, well, I mean, it's gone from terrible to like okay. So, not really.
He has been better on the power play.
Or has he been on a good power play this year?
Oh, yeah, he's been on a better power play. So 84% to 89%. I still don't get how the power play has good metrics, dude. It stinks.
Well, they're like what in terms of goals for? They're pretty high up there. It must be. Here's my theory. Every power play in the league fucking sucks outside of like the top two.
Oilers and who? Boston?
Maybe Boston.
Oh, and Ducks had a pretty good one.
Yeah, their power play looked pretty good.
They're third. So maybe you're right.
I feel like there's a few elite power plays in the ret, and there's like a bunch of ones that are just kind of meh.
So then this is the kicker. Finishing drops from 27 to 25%. Yeah. Like he's down 2%. If he's healthy, and I guess the only other argument left is he still needs more time.
Like more time to do what though? Like, yeah, and like maybe it's because he's playing third line minutes, but again, like we've seen him on the power play, like he's had some grade A feeds and he can't shoot.
Here's my theory, and it's not any one thing. I think this is why he's dropped off the face of hockey planet Earth. Injuries compounded with bad coaching. Compounded with more injuries, compounded with even worse coaching, compounded with having Johnny Gaudreau feed you your entire career. I think it's the combination of those three things. Because we know he's been injured. He's probably been the most injured Calgary Flame in the last seven seasons. Has he not been?
Yeah, I mean,
Who's had more surgeries?
Sean Monahan's had more surgeries than like the whole team combined.
So we know he's been dealing with a lot of injuries. We know that must take its toll year after year. So you know that's a thing, but you'd still think he'd be able to finish if he can find an area in the slot. He should be able to finish. Okay. I mean, he's never been a real physical player ever. He's always shied away from the tough stuff. I guess that's why they told him to get bigger. All the things that this organization has told Sean Monahan to do differently has only made his game worse.
Get bigger and less good at goal scoring, Sean.
Get better in the defensive end. Focus on defense and getting bigger. Made him a worse player.
No, I don't know.
And then he doesn't have Gaudreau fucking feeding him. If he did, he'd probably have... If he was playing with the Gaudreau still, there's no way he'd have four goals still.
Well, is there a way, like, do you think there is an answer to this where it's like, hey, put him back on the top line?
Nope, you can't. Too much reliability.
Could you have, like, I don't think he could keep up would be my issue, but like.
He can't keep up.
Just for the sake of we have nothing to fucking talk about. Let's say you put him on Gaudreau's line. Let's say you put him in Lindholm's spot. You put him with Gaudreau and Kachuk. You tell Backlund to fuck off and you put Lindholm with Coleman and Mangiapane. That's a hell of a line. Then you have Backlund and Lucci, like Backlund, Lucic, and
Dubé.
That's probably an okay line. For some reason, Backlund and Lucic seem to play okay together. I don't know.
Well, this is
the problem is it takes away almost, it cuts into so much of what's been great about the top line. In that they control the play and are never on the ice for a goal against. Monahan would be on there and sink them. What if his defensive game has gotten slowly better? I don't know. I'm just to me, like I think it is also unfair to just criticize him for being shitty when like Backlund has been shitty too. And I know Backlund does other things and he's on the PK and he can, you know, skate and get to pucks, but I think Backlund's also been not great. He's been terrible. I don't know if he's been terrible, but he hasn't been great in my opinion. So I think Monahan is taking the brunt of criticism for an organizational issue down the middle.
Well, he's the lowest hanging fruit.
Yeah, exactly.
But I like the idea of those lines. I would say to that does it hurt you to try it?
The only thing it would hurt is the fact that your top line has carried you for the majority of this, the lion's share of the season. You're taking that away.
Yeah, but if you have no secondary scoring and it's going to cost you games anyways, maybe you try it. I don't know. How about just make the power play better?
That would give Monahan. We've said this. Make him Phil Kessel. Like, make him give him a role on the power play where he's the guy, like he always has been for the last 5 years, and like he's a power play specialist. But you got to give him something more than just fucking stand around.
I was watching a bit of the Canucks game before we started. Boy, they're on a roll, eh? But
old Bruce Boudreau.
Brucey, Bruce, there it is.
Just fucking, we can fucking deal with this.
Surely the fuck. It's the first thing he fucking said. He didn't even say, didn't introduce himself or anything. He just walked in and said, surely the fuck we can turn this around, boys.
So shit's not going right. another NHL, like, can you imagine? All I want is an NHL 24/7 special with Daryl Sutter.
Oh, shit.
Holy fuck.
That'd be epic. So anyways, I'm watching the Canucks game on a power play. The amount of all they do, man, they have Miller going cross-ice to Horvat, or Horvat or Miller going cross-ice to Pettersson, looking for one-time options. I guess Horvat didn't score on a one-time side, but they're going cross-ice the whole time. It'd be nice if we tried that.
Could you try it? Like, that's what I don't get, is you're either, like, everybody has one job on the power play, and that's what pisses me off. Like, the same players score the same way. Like, that shouldn't, everybody should have multiple options every time they have the puck.
It's like, super one-dimensional, and your power play is not something you want to be one-dimensional.
And then it's always pissed me off, and it's like, that's probably why they're so good, is because they do have good personnel. You got Gaudreau, Kachuk, Lindholm, you know? They're good enough where they can still make it work, but it could be so much better. It could be like the Oilers, where it's like, it's fucking deadly. It's like, it could be a defining attribute of this team. Could be, if you take a penalty against the Flames, they're going to score. It's like, you know, when the Oilers get those power plays, and I was like, God damn it, they're going to score, and they score. In like 5 seconds, it could be like that.
Well, like, yeah.
And you probably win 5 games you've lost this year if it was like that.
Yeah, because so many one goal games.
Yeah.
So many overtime games. All right, let's go. We'll rip through these. This is in no particular order. I'm just on the Flames app. So,
everyone, we'll get back to the show in just a moment. Just a quick word from our sponsor, DraftKings Sportsbook. This one is for all you NFL fans. DraftKings is an official sports betting partner of the NFL, and they have a wicked promotion going on right now at Sportsbook. New customers who bet just $1 on any team to score can win $100 in free bets. It's really easy. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, you can still get on the NFL action with Daily Fantasy. Everybody can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contest. DraftKings is giving away to new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. So all you gotta do is download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use the promo code THPN, bet $1 on any team to score, and win $100 in free bets. They score, you score with promo code THPN. This week, DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. You got to be 21 years of age or older in New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. There's a minimum $5 deposit and a $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Let's do a quick scorecarding here, and we'll do a quick around the league, and we'll wrap it up. Michael Backlund.
Fuck, dude. He's been my pet peeve this year.
Me too.
And like, I don't think I'm even off on this. Like, you look at his numbers, his on ice impact has been okay, but like, dude has like no fucking goals. He's the lowest in terms of total goals above replacement on this team, he's dead last on this team, -1.7 goals.
Doesn't surprise me one bit, dude.
He's below Gabranson and Richardson and Pitlick and Zadorov and Lewis. He's fucking dead last on this team in wins and goals above replacement. So he has not been doing it for me this year. Like, he's supposed to be one of the change makers and leaders on this team and drivers on this team. He's been pretty shitty the whole year. So he's lucky to get a D from me at this point in time.
Wow. D. Love it. So what's his point total?
I don't know. What does he have, like 9 points? I'm going to pull it up right now. I know he's got like 4 goals. He's got 9 points in 28 games. He got four goals this year.
Dude, holy fuck.
Give me a break.
He's been playing in the top 6 slots.
Yeah, and everyone's like, oh, he's not a scoring guy.
Yeah, apparently not.
Yeah, that's been a fucking weakness of this team forever. He's not scoring. For not being a scoring guy, not being a points guy, he's sure been our second line center for 10 fucking years.
When did he get so dumb is my question.
That's my question, too. I used to love Backlund. It's only been in, like, the last year and a half where I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
The two players that drive me crazy watching with their stupidity is Michael Backlund and Noah Hanifin.
Hanifin's just, like, a dunce.
It's not all the time everywhere on the ice, but there's, like, 4 or 5 plays literally every game from each one of those players where you're just like, what the fuck is he doing? Or what the fuck was he thinking? Anyways, I'll give him a C+.
Sure.
Okay, next, Blake Coleman.
Well, I mean, kind of some of the same thoughts. He doesn't piss me off because he doesn't make any dumb plays. Well, that's not true. But where is this guy?
Well, that's the thing. I agree. He's not standing out for any negative reasons, but he is not standing out for enough positive reasons. And I don't give – let me give his fucking – he can't make – what does he make? $5 million?
Almost much? $5 million.
You don't make $5 million and you can't score.
You can't be our big, huge free – he's got 7 points. He's got 4 goals.
You can't be the big off-season acquisition top 6 injection to finally give us more scoring up front. And, you know, obviously he does more than that, but he's a scorer. Score.
You got to score. That's what makes you money. Score. I'll give him a C.
Right now, him and Backlund, are you playing your top 6? Neither of them can score. Neither of them generating offense.
They have as many goals combined as Lucic has this season, pretty much. Like, give me a fucking break.
I'm giving it a C-. The expectations are way too high for this guy. Yeah,
he's got to be better. Like, I was talking about, like, Monahan's goals above replacement being shitty. Fucking Coleman's below Monahan. So, pick it up, Blake.
Dylan Dubé.
He's been pretty bad all year.
Yeah. He's been performing well below expectations, I would say.
I would say that as well. You really were hoping for, like, him to have a breakout season.
Like, he hasn't improved one bit.
He's been just as – all the issues with his game are still persisting.
Has he gotten worse?
Possibly. He sure doesn't do much on a night-to-night basis, that's for sure.
Nope.
Yeah, you probably got to give Dubé a D just based on expectations. And I mean, like, sure, he's still produced or creating some offense, but I've been left wanting a shit ton from Dylan Dubé. So
I will also give him a big fat D. No innuendo intended. Johnny Gaudreau.
Fuck, dude, like an A for sure. Like, I mean, you should give him an A+. Like, he's playing the best hockey of his career, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'll give him an A just because we're talking about this threshold thing, and we know Johnny has to go to another level, especially in the playoffs. He needs to be – everybody has to do it, but mm-hmm. him included. So there's a bit of room for improvement for him, I would say, in that aspect. So I'll give him an A. But he's been your best player.
Yeah.
Okay, Trevor Lewis.
I don't know. Like, can I give him an NA? Because, like, I don't know what purpose this guy serves. He's not very good, but I kind of like him. Like a C, I guess. Like, he's not very good, but Daryl likes him. He's a nice guy.
He's
he
not,
sure is trying.
The thing about Lewis is he's not very good, but he executes his role. I mean, that's...
He's kind of like the opposite of Backlund, where it's like his on-ice impact sucks, but he doesn't make any stupid fucking plays during the game, at least.
I'll give him a B minus. A lot of nights I've actually enjoyed watching him because of the other things that you mentioned. He gives her and he keeps the game simple. And he keeps the game simple in the offensive end as well, he doesn't fuck it up very often, right?
Yeah, no fuck ups, which I like.
But the expectations are very, very low. So that helps too. All right, Elias Lindholm.
Oh, A plus, man.
A plus?
Come on.
Ooh-wee. He's getting A minus from me.
Well, yeah, like, I mean, he could be more.
Here's the thing.
He's been a little streaky.
It's funny that Lindholm's becoming this player. Maybe he is underrated because he's underrated in our podcast, probably, right? He's been one of those players that we maybe haven't given him as much credit, but here's the thing. You're now number one C. You're one C. We need you to put your stamp on more games.
Yeah.
And he has. He's been involved in all of them, I would say. Right? Is there any game where, like, fuck, Lindholm sucked? Actually, it was the last game against Boston. I texted him, like, fuck, Lindholm. Lindholm's taking a night off, so one game.
Yeah.
But outside of that, he has been incredible. But still, room for improvement. If your coach is comparing you to Anze Kopitar and he's being serious, then that was one of the things where you're comparing the two players and you're saying, okay, well, then he needs to start winning us more games single-handedly, especially in overtime. But hell of a player. He's having a hell of a season. A-minus is great. It's a great scorecard. Okay? Anywhere in the A's is good. But I still want more from him.
I have to give an A-plus just because I spend all my time in the summer telling everybody how he's like nothing without Gaudreau. So.
You ass. All right, Milan Lucic.
Fuck, do people are so like... The second Lindholm gets like a goal this season, everyone's like, gee, fuck you, man. I never said he was bad. I just said he wasn't fucking Patrice Bergeron. Jeez.
Or Anze Kopitar.
Fuck me.
Okay, Milan Lucic.
I mean, you gotta give him a I'll give him a B plus. Like, I mean, the guy has been scoring and doing what he needs to do.
Yeah, I agree. B plus. I want to give him an A, but there's still a lot of errors and too many turnovers.
Yeah.
Even though he's exceeding my expectations big time. Yeah. Hell, fuck it. I'll give him an A minus.
Right.
Even though he deserves a B plus just because he's Milan. Manji Pani. This is literally my only A plus.
Probably. Yeah, it's like this. Can you give it an A++? Like, give me a fucking break. The guy's like unbelievable.
Oh, throw him on the top line.
Yeah, no shit. Switch hit, like, do something. Like, fuck, this guy would have 300 goals playing with Gaudreau.
Switch him and Chucky for a bit and see what happens.
Yeah, I'd have no problem with that. Get Backlund back with Chucky. They play better together. Chucky could get Backlund in line.
Sean Amanahan.
Oh, man. I don't know if he's been an F. You're saying F?
Yeah, he's been an F, dude.
He's just been not even close to what Sean Monahan needs to be for this team.
He's been an F.
So I'll give
fucking
him
F.
I'll go D.
Oh, you're too kind.
I'm too kind to old Sean.
If this is all we're going to see from Sean Monahan, that's total fucking fail, dude. Okay, Tyler Pitlick.
You know what? I really was liking Pitlick's game through like first 10 games.
Was.
And then he like kind of sucked. Maybe injury. I don't know.
Dude, he sucked the last five games we saw him.
C minus. I don't know. Liked his first 10 games. Haven't liked much since.
C minus. I like that. Brad Richardson.
I mean, he scored a couple goals. He's kind of in the Lewis category where it's like, there's this new categories of guys who like suck, but it's like you can't fault them for like because they try and shit. It's like I'd rather have Richardson than Jankowski. At least he gives his give a shit meters a little higher.
Yep. B minus. Too bad in them were skill, eh?
Yeah, I'll give him a C. Yeah. Again, like these guys are weird because like you look at their numbers and it's like, man, they suck. Like look at their underlying numbers. Not even underlying numbers. Their numbers. They suck. But they're still, when I'm watching them, I'm like, yeah, I like that guy. It's weird.
They still find a way to have an impact on the game is what I find.
Yeah, it's a good way to put it.
Okay, Brett Ritchie, I'm going to give him an NA because honestly, I don't
NA, but like in the nine games he played, he was really actually pretty good. So
have we heard anything about Brett Ritchie?
No, what's wrong? Like, man, I kind of forgot he existed until I was looking at these numbers.
Well,
he must be really hurt.
I don't see anything in terms of news and updates. I guess he's not good enough to fucking get talked about it.
I was going to say, it'd be pretty shocking if there was like any news items on Brett Ritchie.
I'm up with blanks here on the old internet. It placed on the injury reserve November 4th. That's it.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't heard anything.
Obviously, it's a concussion, though. Eh?
Must be.
Kate, what would you give Ruzicka in the few games we've seen him?
Yeah, he's been okay. He's I don't know. Like I'd give him an NA too. I don't know.
Yeah, yet. I was gonna say NA too small sample size. Matthew Tkachuk.
I'll give him I don't know, because he's been really he's been sneaky good. It's like we've said before, Lindholm and Joel get all the hype and shit. But he still needs to score a bit more. I'll give him an A minus.
Give him an A, baby.
Like
look at the response season.
Yeah, that's true.
If you look at the underlyings, he drives this team. He drives the bus every night. He's doing,
you know what,
all
fuck
that.
I can't give. I gotta give him an A. Come on, what am I doing?
All right, boy.
It's been too long since I've watched it.
But you're right. He's quietly having.
He's quietly the biggest impact player on this team.
Yeah. Good way to put it. All right, let's go to defense. Rasmus. Rass is back, baby.
Fat Rass. It'd be nice if he could score once in a while.
When is this guy gonna score a fucking goal?
So with the fact that he plays like 98 minutes a night on PP1 and can't score a goddamn goal, but has been really good otherwise, I'll give him A-.
Curious stat. I think I threw this out there in the last one, but is there a power play one defenseman in the league other than Rasmus Anderson that has not scored a goal this season? I'm really fucking curious because that just blows my mind. I think he's one of the biggest problems with PP1 in terms of, can you make it any more lethal? Not with Rasmus Anderson back there. That's probably like the opposite of, well, I guess Noah Hanifin might be a little less lethal, even though he scored more goals. But I don't know, man. Throw Shillington in the same boat as Pitlick. He's looked pretty terrible the last five games.
Yeah.
Maybe not terrible, but nowhere near.
Not good.
Yeah. So when he was on fire, I was you know, petitioning for him to be up on PP1, but fuck, I don't even feel comfortable with him up there.
There's not like, a lot of options. Do the five, get Manji up there and do the 5-4s at this point.
You fucking pull Rustiga out of retirement, eh?
Totally.
Fuck, he made the power play so much better.
Why is he retired? Ridiculous. The person I always say is like, Blake Como is still in the NHL and guys like Versteeg and Glencross aren't. What the shit?
Injuries, I guess.
Whew.
Because Versteeg was hobbling around Calgary for like
the last
two seasons. All right, what are you giving Rass? Rass Daddy.
I gave him A-, just because bounce back. He's been good, but can't score a goddamn goal.
Yep. I will echo that. A-, good is a good evaluation there. Eric, good Branson. Is he good Branson or is he good Brett Badson?
I'd say he's good Badson because he just is still bad, but he's been good enough where it's like, hey, he's not too bad.
He's had a really good season in terms of expectations. B+ for me.
Yeah, I'll give him a B+. That's good.
However, his game has dipped, so he needs a little bit to clean up his game here. I don't want to see him chasing guys around his own end.
I don't want to see him firing the puck haphazardly out of the rink.
Noah Hanifin.
I think he's kind of like Rasmus, where it's like he's been good. I need more from – I don't know. Fuck. I need a little bit more from Hanifin, though. I'd give him a B, even though he's been steady.
B- for me. For all the fucking buzz that he generates when he's on the blue line and coming through the neutral zone, fuck, does he not do much offensively, eh?
He can't score to save his life. He can't make a play to save his life. But he's still a pretty okay defenseman.
He just sticks with a tried and true low percentage.
Dude, if he gets the puck, you know it's going right into the crest or just a floater or just a shot that's like going not
wide.
Yeah.
Just like, yeah, I'll kind of throw it in the general direction. Yeah. Like, if all he did was he just practiced, I'm a shooting top corner every time. Regardless, I don't care if it gets blocked 10 times in a row. I'm just going to keep shooting there because that's the only place I'll ever score.
Same problem. He just never does not have hockey sense. He doesn't know where to put the puck to get it to go into the net.
No, and I think probably part of his biggest problem is he does not know how to laterally move across the blue line in order to open up seams, right? And if he's going laterally, he's not utilizing it. Like, he's still picking the low percentage lanes. So Oliver Shillington.
Well, last five games aside, you got to give him an A for expectations for how goddamn good he's been. He's been an A for sure.
Well, yes, but I can't forget those last five games. I really can't. So B- for me, B+ for me.
Yeah, I don't mind that. Dude looks like a cokehead in the San Jose game. I don't know what he was up to.
Yeah, seriously. All right, Michael Stone. We've seen him in two or three games.
I think he's only played one.
Any.
Yeah.
Tanev.
Again, kind of like a quiet. He's maybe kind of like the Kachuk of the blue line, but maybe not to that extreme. He's been very dependable.
Fuck, he's a rock back there, eh?
I don't know if you can give him an A, but I'm going to give him an A. I feel like
I'm giving him an A, bro.
I feel like I'm giving out way too many A's, but if you can't give an A to Chris Tanev, who can you give one to?
Agreed. I'll give him an A. Nikita Zadorov.
Well, I know most people... It's what the fuck is happening where I'm the person like Flames Twitter hates this guy. I'm the one standing up for Zadorov. He's been fine. He fucks up occasionally. He's been fine defensively, which is what he was here for, brought in for. I'll give him a C+ to B- range.
I'm going to go ahead and give him a B-.
He's been fine. He's physical. He just needs to not be so dumb sometimes.
He's cleaned that up a bit. Well, that's the one thing Backlund is. Maybe that's why he's looks like an idiot half of their time is because he can't channel his stupidity into digging dumb penalties anymore. So it just, but Zadorov,
dude, like I think that's, I don't think he's been great at that, but he hasn't been like, holy fuck, what's he taking so many penalties? He's taking some, but he's not like every night. So
you're talking about Zadorov?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's been a lot better. Like you said, he's been physical. He's got 3 goals.
Yeah.
He's got more goals than half our forwards.
So. Dude, he has one less goal than Blake Coleman.
Fuck. In half the amount of games, probably. Yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. Like, yes, there's
no, he's only got 2 goals. I'm sorry, dude.
Yeah, Zadorov, I don't know, man. He's had his ups and downs. He's been into the lineup. He's, I don't know, man. He's just so up and down, really.
He's not a $3.75 million defenseman you should be trading third round draft picks for and expecting to replace Mark Giordano with, but he's been okay.
You know, I got to bump him down to a C+ now that you mentioned all that. All right, Jacob Markstrom.
Fucking don't. A. Hey,
last game, not a side, bro.
A+. Dude, like he has 5 shutouts. Are you fucking kidding me?
Agreed. A+. How about Daniel for the Dyer?
I mean, an A+ for him, too. Well, he was, yeah, A+. One bad game. We haven't had a backup who's had a competent, like.
Sorry, I'm going with an A, though. That one game.
I'm still going A+, just based off the fact he's, like, you know, 5-1-1.
Good. I'm glad you did.
Good.
Okay. Daryl Sutter, A+.
Is that yo, Sutter? Jesus, dude.
Can we? I think he deserves like a Greek, a Roman numeral or a Greek alphabet letter or something. Eh? Can he have the
alpha and omega?
We'll give him the alpha and omega. How's that sound?
Beautiful.
He's in a whole nother category.
Beautiful.
How about Bradtree Living?
Fuck me. He gets a
F.
He gets a fuck right off. F don't even mention him.
F for fuck right off / fucking stupid. But in all honesty, how would you rate his off season based on what we've seen so far?
Who, Tree Living?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think his off season's done shit.
I'll rate his off season a D+ based on what we've seen so far. Because
like what is anything that he did in the off season? Like, really helped so far.
Well, no. But last offseason's acquisition, Tanev and Markstrom have.
Yeah, if you retroactively go back, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, retroactively.
So hopefully we see that with. Hopefully we see that come to fruition with Coleman at some point.
True. Do you want to give him a mark or no?
Tree Living?
Yeah.
No, I refuse.
Some things.
I don't change. Even, in my brain, I pretend he doesn't even exist in this organization.
Johnny says, a lot, eh? When I'm like, seriously, he did.
Why is he always so close up to the fucking camera when he does those in-office reports?
Who would you rather look at for a 22-minute interview? Why are they 20? They're always 22 minutes, and he says literally nothing in 22 minutes.
Has he said anything in 8 years? No.
Okay, here's me fast-forwarding through his interview looking for some sustenance. This is what I get. Fast-forward. I shit you not. I'm not even kidding. It's like, okay, you're the spokesperson for a fucking NHL franchise. Maybe take a speech class or something.
I know, that's what I've said. Like, do you hear Kyle Dubas humming and hawing?
And maybe take a webcam class? Or
that's what I'm saying. That's the best camera you got? He looks like he's in, like, fucking a chat room from 1999. Like, you can't get the GM of a multi-million-dollar franchise a fucking camera for his web interviews. He's like 2 inches away from the screen.
Chat room, dude. Remember those things?
I guess they didn't really have video. Did you have video chat? I don't know. Grew up in the country, didn't have internet.
Chat. I remember chat rooms, dude. Fuck, man. Those are funny. stay until 2 a.m. on chat rooms.
Well, I'm just looking at his dumb face right now. It's all blurry. No. It's all blurry. His head's so big and he's so close to the camera, it doesn't even fit in the crop. It's like out of the crop box. Jeez.
The fastest way to trigger and incite hate in me is to put a picture of Brad Hewlett in his face.
That's what I'm saying. I pretend he doesn't exist on this team. This is like Daryl Sutter and the players, and that's it to me in my world.
Put a picture on the screen here. Why is he always looks like he's a deer in the headlights, eh? Always. Fucking fixing his glasses. He probably doesn't even need glasses. He just wears them to have some sort
something
of
layer, to fiddle with.
Some sort of layer of something protection between him and the outside world, I would imagine. Something to fill with, yeah. Because he's not wearing it in half these pictures.
He looks like, I don't know what he looks like. He looks like a puppet or something.
You know weird. What?
He looks like a cartoon character of some
he
kind.
He looks, no, you were close. He looks like a Muppet.
Yes, a Muppet.
He looks like a Muppet, a legit Muppet character. If you threw a cart like a Muppet mustache on him, it's something a little more interesting with the hair. You have a Muppet character, my friends. You do.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, there's a picture of Bill.
Yeah, that one.
Oh, there's a picture of Brad with his fucking, is that his Calgary Flames mask? He's wearing a mask.
Best friend, Bill Peters.
He's wearing a, oh yeah, he did. He has a sweet little Calgary Flames logo mask. That's interesting. Okay, let's do a quick round of the league and let's wrap it up. So teams that are kind of like standing out and shocking you for either reason, let's just whip through the Pacific here. Anaheim.
Yeah, they look good, man.
They're officially in first place currently. We have 3 games in hand, 3 points back. So we have a slightly higher winning percentage. We are actually at 6.43.
Highest, yeah, we're a bit higher, yeah.
Highest in the Pacific Division. So, but Vegas has now tied us in points. We have still the game in hand with them, but that's one thing about this little second place league. It's starting to dwindle when you don't play for a fucking week. Okay, thoughts on, yeah, for Anaheim, for me, I don't know if they can keep this up. I know they've looked good pretty much all season. They looked good when we played them, and their power play is unreal. Zegras is a fucking legit NHL star in the making. Gibson's fucking one of the best goaltenders in the world. It wouldn't surprise me if they hang around and they're one of those bubble teams fighting for a playoff spot. I don't think they're necessarily a shoe-in for a playoff spot at this point.
I think they can totally make the playoffs in the Pacific, though.
Can they maintain this pace? They're 17, 9, and 5.
I don't think they'll meet. Well, I don't know. I think that the 4 best teams in the Pacific, the only thing is if Vancouver keeps this heater up, because I don't think San Jose is going to, or LA is going to, I don't know. San Jose has been okay, but I think they're probably one of the 4 best teams in the Pacific. So they don't even have to keep up this pace, but I think they're going to make the playoffs.
Vancouver wins again tonight.
Wow.
The 5 in a row now or 6?
It's crazy what you can do with a
5 straight wins.
Really, the fuck?
Bruce can't even fucking skate. He's out there coaching the team.
How's that guy still alive? Like, holy cow.
Is his face redder than it was before, or is it still the same amount of redness? Who's got a redder face, Bruce Boudreau, or what's the GM for the Ducks? Ryan Murray?
Bob Murray? Fired, though?
Side note, what's wrong with fucking
NHL GMs or NHL people?
What's wrong with Berkey?
Dude.
Guy looks like he's like...
Why is he so frail? Did you see his hand?
Did he just age? Or like, did you see his fate? Never mind his hand. You see his face?
He looked like he's 8. No, you can always tell the hands. The hands are more telling than the face, I'd say.
He looked like he just came out of the fucking morgue.
Yeah, like he aged like 10 years overnight.
Interesting. So I don't know, man. I'm going to say Anaheim doesn't keep pace. That'll be my prediction, is that just got so much youth over there. I don't know. I guess it's a young man's league now. So, but I think they'll battle for a final playoff spot. They'll probably get in, eh? Are they better than Winnipeg?
I think they'll get it. I hope they get in because they're fun to watch. I hope they get in, and then I'll say that, and they'll beat our ass in the first round.
Yep, and they're doing the most of this without Getzlaff too, right?
Yeah.
Is he back?
No, he's not back yet.
Okay, so let's go to Vegas. I mean, they had an awful real slow start, but they look just as good as they ever have. They got Stone and Pacioretty back. I don't know, man. I don't know why they kept Leonard over Marc-Andre Fleury. Is Marc-Andre Fleury still not the better goalie?
Well, he's been pretty fucking terrible this year.
Well, he's been better lately, but...
They just don't like Marc-Andre Fleury.
No one does.
There's, like, some serious drama there.
For the most well-loved player by all fans across the league, sure not the same for...
Sure been through the shitter.
But remarkable, he's got his 500th... See that? His 500th win? Third in all time?
It's crazy, man.
The top three...
I'll always remember him from fucking up the World Junior game that year. Remember that?
Yep, I do. What do the top three goalies of all time have in common?
In common?
Quiz. Yep. This is a quiz.
Top three what? Like, what do you mean?
Well, in wins.
In wins? They're French-Canadian?
Yeah. Patty Waugh, yeah. Martin Brodeur, Marc-André. Do you think Vegas... I don't see how they don't finish first.
Yeah, and they're going to get Eichel.
Oh, my God. Fuck, I forgot about that.
Dude. Yeah, so they're...
What is he like? It's probably like 5 days.
They're finishing Eichel first.
They're going to get Eichel before we even play again, probably.
Yeah, totally.
They're finishing first. I can't... I got Eichel in both my pools, though. So
they're going to get Eichel before Sean Monahan has 5 goals.
Minnesota is a legit good team. They're 19-8-2. They're currently in first in the West. But no surprises there. Anything you want to say about Minnesota?
Nope. Cam Talbot. Attaboy. Cam
Talbot. Attaboy.
My boy.
Love him. Love to see it. Love to see it when Brad Tree Living makes a dumb move. Although Markstrom's looking pretty good.
Markstrom's been unreal.
All right. Nashville Predators. They're currently in second in the Central, tied with St. Louis. They're a bit of a surprise, eh?
Totally, kind of, man.
But not like
huge surprise.
They got, like, I think it's Soros, man. He's just fucking unbelievable.
Yeah, their D is good and Soros is good.
And they actually have secondary scoring. Go figure. Yeah. They don't have a lot of top end scoring.
It's weird how a guy like Duchesne goes from being like, see, that's what in my mind's eye, in the back of my mind, I was like, hey, that's gonna happen to Monahan. It's like Duchesne, like everyone's not that he's like been one of the best players in the league, but like Duchesne's been pretty good this year, and I think most people had him written off as like a has been kind of.
Yeah, no, I think you're onto something, because Josh Anderson and what's the guy in Philly,
Cam Atkinson,
he's been on a tear this season, has he? Philly's really dropped off, but man, he was playing well for a while.
But like, imagine if Sean Monahan was point per game like right now, like Matt Duchesne is. Like Matt Duchesne has 13 goals. Like, we would have won so many more games if he had been point per game. So,
maybe, yeah, won 5 more games. Yeah. All right, St. Louis. I don't really follow them much. They're not
St.
Really
Louis is like the most nondescript team in the world. I don't know. Are they good? Probably. They got some young, good players over there. Robert Thomas, Tarasenko. What's the deal with that? Does he still want out of there?
I haven't heard anything. He's been scoring goals.
Remember in the summer and everyone was like, why don't you swap Monahan for Tarasenko?
Fuck, that would have been a good move, eh? Good job, Brad.
I think even I was like, no, I don't want to do that. Fucking Monahan. Fuck.
Yeah, Kent Wilson was saying Tarasenko, he'd love to take a shot.
Yeah, and I was like, I don't know. That's kind of weird, but that's why I'm stupid, I guess.
You're really smart, okay?
No, thanks.
Okay, so Colorado Avalanche, they're starting to turn it up. I don't know what their wins are in the last 10 games because I'm on the app. It doesn't show me that much, but I know they were off to a slow start, but they're starting to look pretty good, eh?
They'll be just fine, I imagine.
They'll be just fine. Edmonton Oilers, they have dropped. This is kind of interesting to me because of what they win tonight. So they snap a six game losing streak. And those are all regulation losses. So I guess
they have fallen.
They have fallen. So they win tonight against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Somebody was saying it sounds like our first game back might be against the Oilers.
Yeah.
That's going to suck, eh?
Probably going to get creamed.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't know. What are you surprised? Like, the Oilers fucking suck at defense. Their goaltending sucks, and McDavid's not scoring, so.
Well, I'm kind of surprised that they're either winning or losing because, like, fuck, they were on a tear to start the season.
Mm-hmm.
A tear. That surprised me that they were that good. But then this surprised me they'd lose six straight.
Well, it's like though, you said, when you're a two-player team, this is how it goes.
Yeah, so they lost Seattle. Okay, so upcoming games, they're in Seattle. And they got Anaheim, LA, San Jose, Calgary, St. Louis. Yeah, they got New Jersey in there. They've still got some pretty good teams coming up. So see how they rebound. I don't know what their goaltender situation.
Imagine they missed the playoffs.
Oh, that'd be fucking epic.
That's all I want for Christmas.
All right, so pushing on the bubble right now. You got Edmonton in last for the wild card spot, 34 points, and then Winnipeg's behind them at 31. So Winnipeg, are they good? That's one of those teams where I'm like, I'm not sure.
I have no clue.
Yeah, I'm not sure about Winnipeg.
I don't think they're very good. I think they're pretty similar to Edmonton. Bad, terrible defensive team.
LA, they don't get in, right?
I don't think so.
San Jose, does San Jose get in? Probably not.
I'd say they get in before LA for sure, but I still don't think so.
Edmonton would have to fall off. Calgary would have to fall off. I don't think you're going to see many surges from the Sharks like the Canucks are doing right now. The Sharks are just one game above 500. They sure beat us pretty easy, though, eh?
Twice.
So then you have Vancouver. This is interesting. So they got 30 points. I think this takes into account tonight's win. They're still, because they're 4 points back. Really 4 points out of a playoff spot now.
No.
But they're 14-15, one game under 500. They got things rolling. Obviously, it's not going to last forever. But you're starting to see the potential of this team. These guys can fucking score, man. Like, when they're actually firing on all cylinders, this team can fucking score goals.
Cylinders? Their top six is so good.
I don't know. What do you think? How do you think it's going to play out? They probably get in now, eh?
I don't know. I still, man, it's hard to parse out, like,
yeah,
how bad they were under their old coach.
Well, and then look at who they have to leapfrog, right? They have to be better than Edmonton,
dude. Anaheim. Yeah, and that D is still an absolute mess.
And you saw it with us, right? We looked on top of the world and you lose four straight.
Yeah.
I mean, like, they're going to have problems again. It's not going to last. But
yeah.
Vancouver seems to always do this. They always have, like, a surge and come out of nowhere. Like, that's, like, another MO. All right. Last out of the West. So I guess we should touch on Seattle, too. Okay, Dallas.
Anything I couldn't tell you anything about Dallas.
Yeah. Dallas, they're kind of like, they're good at home. They just lost the first game in like six at home or something like that. But they're 13-11. I think the days of Dallas are kind of starting to dwindle, dude.
Yeah, they're headed for a rebuild, I feel. I don't know if a rebuild, but the Sagan Ben era has probably got to come to a close soon.
So can we get Ben? Can we get Sagan? Can we get Joe Pavelski?
No.
We could try, though. We could almost
get Joe. We almost get those guys in.
Yeah. Chicago, give a shit. Seattle, let's talk about them.
10 and 16
watch. They're going to start playing good hockey right around the time we have to play them.
Well, we got to play them coming up here, isn't it? Geo's homecoming here soon.
Yeah.
Boy, we were mad about that in the summer, eh?
Real mad. So they're scheduled a week today, so they might actually push that.
Oh, no. I still wouldn't put it past Brad to get him back, dude.
There's no way he's gonna do it, man. Be laughing stock.
He is already.
Okay, let's close it out. We didn't touch on the Flames. Flames are still in second place in the Pacific Division. If hockey ever comes back, because it could not, it might not. I mean, this is kind of how COVID started last time. Although they know a lot more about it now. So you think they know how to deal with it and keep the league going. But when they come back, first question to you is, are they going to be ready to come back? Does Daryl have them? He's got to have them doing something currently.
Daryl Sutter will have them ready.
Too bad they couldn't practice it. So Daryl will have them ready. What's the second third of the season going to look like? Are we going to maintain pace, or are we going to fall off pace, or are we going to surge?
Well, you need to surge.
Surge!
A surge would be nice. We need, I don't know if we will, but we need to. This team needs to get to another level through the third of the season. They've shown they're a good team. Now they need to improve because we haven't really seen much improvement over the last 10 games. So the next 10 games, we better see some bloody improvement.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.